Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
Today's program has been brought to you by the International Culinary Center, offering courses that range from classic French techniques in culinary, pastry, and bread baking to Italian studies to management, from culinary technology to food writing, from cake making to wine tasting. For more information, visit internationalculinarycenter.com.
Hello, I'm Diane Stemple, and you're listening to Cutting the Curd on the HeritageRadioNetwork.org. You can hear our show archived anytime on our network, or you can get a podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. Today, I'm interviewing cheese people who are also artists, either concurrently or previously, and I want to welcome Beth Griffenhagen from Murray's Cheese. She's the marketing manager. I want to welcome Aaron Kurtz, who's a sales manager at Forever Cheese, which is a distributor. And I also want to welcome Adam Moskowitz, who is the owner of Larkin, which is a major cheese warehouse, for those of you who don't know in our listening audience. Cheese, like the rest of the food industry, maybe particularly restaurants, attracts people who perhaps at first are using cheese as a day job to support their artistic endeavors. Maybe not necessarily the three people in the room today, but often that's the case. And then they get swept up in cheese and it becomes their major passion. I want to ask the three of you, how did you combine cheese and art at first? Aaron?
Hello, everybody. Well, I guess I get to start. How did I combine?
How did you segue? Well, did you do art first and then cheese?
Well, I actually did art first. I did a lot of radio DJing that spun into record DJing, club DJing. And for me, it was just, I would say that the segue happened is, the overarching thing for me is always being willing to take risks.
Mm-hmm.
So I jumped into a field that I really didn't know as that much about, but I wasn't afraid to do it.
Mm-hmm. And you were a well-established DJ in Prague, correct?
Yeah.
For years and years?
Definitely.
And your name was DJ A to the K?
And it still is.
Oh, that's great.
So, it was, I worked in the record business when I was there and had a long career, but really it was all just really about trying to... I basically worked a lot with hip hop in the Czech Republic, and it was a misunderstood art form.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, it tied into a lot. There's anti-Semitism and racism that's pretty prevalent there.
Mm-hmm.
So it had a bit of a movement purpose to it as well, education piece and so on. All that kind of over. It's fine. I'm not quite sure how to make the segue, but I feel like I'm doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I just now have a different job and role, but the same kind of values still kind of take place in terms of education and, and having some kind of a moral message. Now you can do more with food safety or, you know, it has transitions that you can make.
And the way that you initially got introduced to cheese was by doing parties with a cheese person?
I actually worked with this guy named Brad Dubay, who works at Food Matters again. He was the person who, we had DJed parties together, and then we talked about cheese a lot, and it was one of those things where it just, he thought, wow, this guy actually is really interested in cheese. Let me see if he can, you know, come work with us, and we'll try to see what he knows. And next thing you know, I'm their top sales guy.
Uh-huh. So did you want a day job?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
I did. Actually, I made that choice. At the time, I was doing a lot of DJing and consulting work, and it was real freelance. And it kind of was up to Forever Cheese. Forever Cheese said at one point, the owner, Pierluigi, said, you know, what do we have to do to make you stop doing everything and just focus on doing cheese? And at that point, I had to choose.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I still do DJ.
Mm-hmm.
I actually did a couple of gigs with Adam, which has been awesome. You know, but I had basically, you know, became a
full-time cheese professional.
Cheese person. Yeah.
Okay.
I heard something very interesting. I apologize to interject, but it sounds like you're talking about DJing and cheese sales in a very similar vein, that your job as a DJ, which was finding great songs and playing great records and getting a crowd hyped,
mm-hmm.
it feels like you kind of implied that your job in cheese is almost very similar, but instead of it being songs or music, it's Kurt.
I totally, that's how I feel about it. I feel like there's so much, it's the same, you know how in music there's so much you can know, you can never know every new band that's coming out, et cetera. It's the same with cheese. There's so much that's happening that, you know, I think it's impossible to keep track and know it all.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a constant process.
So you're curating for the rest of us.
Yeah, at least my little part.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, well, the key to being a DJ is having taste in music.
True. Yeah.
So the key to being a great cheese salesperson is having taste in cheese.
In cheese, yeah. But at least at Forever Cheese, we have a bunch of... I feel like we don't have any duds, really. So, you know, it's like where if you look at some more commercial...
Ricotta salad is a dud. Sorry.
You haven't tried ours lately.
Now, Beth,
you're correct.
Your arc was very different. You got into cheese, and then art came along.
Yeah, I did. I worked in cheese in Massachusetts for a little while. Came to New York, kind of thinking I'm going to leave that world behind. I'm done with cheese, and fell back into it. I think it's funny when we refer to ourselves and other people as cheese people. You get a lot of people saying, well, cheese people do this, or I'm a cheese person, but I'm definitely a cheese person. And what you were saying, what's your name again?
Aaron.
Yeah. Aaron and Adam. I'm so bad with that stuff. When Aaron was saying that, kind of, it's like, it sounds to me like your personality kind of infuses everything that you do.
Mm.
I think that's really characteristic of cheese people. When we talk about cheese people, they're people with personalities. And I guess that my personality kind of carried me into my art and into cheese as well. I wrote a book called Haiku for the Single Girl. It's a book of haikus about being single. It's very much like a New York City kind of experience, and a lot of humor, some dark, some light. And I think that what I do at Murray's, I'm the marketing manager, and I write a lot of, you know, our e-blasts and manage the Tumblr and Twitter and things like that. And it's really allows me to embrace my love of cheese and my love of humor.
And to be concise.
Yeah, exactly. I love taking the big idea and making it small. That's kind of my favorite way to create things and to look at the world is like to just reduce things down to their most pure form and something that's easy to understand for
people.
Were
you a poet before the haiku started?
No. I mean, I think of myself more as like a copywriter or like a comedian.
Uh-huh.
I like quick and snappy and mm-hmm. funny.
But and people are dying to publish books. How did you get a publishing deal?
I went
so
to
easily.
Summer camp with a literary agent, and we were at a wedding together. And I think like most, I guess, yeah, absolutely. I don't always consider myself like an artist, because I think that it comes with this feeling that you have to be, you know, pushed to just always be creating something. It's just like welling up inside of you. But for this experience, it definitely was something where I wanted to make this, and I was just sort of writing it for fun. Like mm-hmm. I couldn't stop from doing it. And it just happened that we were at this wedding together, and he saw me working on them by the pool, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm just doing this thing for fun. He said, well, I help books get made, and this should be a book. And it just all came together.
That's great.
Yeah.
And Adam, how about you?
I started being an artist when I worked on the internet, and I actually made a lot of money working at Yahoo when people still thought it was a chocolate drink. And that financial freedom got me really, really creative, and I just started expressing myself. And I just started DJing and rapping and writing poetry and painting, and I don't know. I found within financial freedom, I found a creative expression, and then once I found creative expression, it was reckless abandonment. And once there was reckless abandonment, it just didn't matter. I think once you become an artist, you're an artist, and once you understand being what it means to be an artist, you just are.
And how did you make the transition to cheese?
I got the transition to cheese. I started at the age of 30. I decided to be a rapper and put out an album. And I took all my money and put it into my album. And while I was performing my album, I started working at a cheese shop downtown called Formaggio Essex, just to honor my family name and learn cheese because I didn't like cheese so much. And yeah, that's where I got bit by the bug, that cheese bug.
So you fell in love with cheese?
I did. I fell deeply and passionately in love with cheese. Cheese saved my life. It changed everything that I know and do. I as an artist, I feel like all I need is inspiration. And from inspiration, I say, create, do, am artistic. It's just being a conduit of inspiration. So with cheese, once I started learning cheese, all you are with cheese is a conduit of information, right? Here's a great piece of cheese, and here's the great story behind that great piece of cheese, or don't try that. And a lot of ways, that's what being an artist is, right? An artist is an expression of an idea or an experience or something, you know? Like a photograph is a filter of a specific moment. A screenplay is discussion of a story. So I don't know. I lost my train of thought, but I don't know.
Now, one way you combined interests is in the Cheesemonger Invitational, which you kind of invented. You want to tell us about that?
Yeah, well, I didn't invent it. I think in our generation, there's no such thing as invention. I think there's innovation. And as you innovate, you could fool people into thinking you invented something. Cheese competition, I wasn't the first one there. I just, I think, did it better. That was a really good excuse to have a party in my warehouse. And it seemed like a lot of cheesemongers needed a voice. I didn't realize it, but it happened. And now it's something that we're doing that is just a great way for cheesemongers to express themselves.
For our listeners who don't know what the Cheesemonger Invitational is, it's a party which has a competition of cheesemongers. How many now? 20? 20 stores?
The last year we had 45 mongers from around the world.
Globe, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Global,
definitely.
Right? Yeah. Aaron's been the DJ for Cheesemonger Invitational for the last 2 years. It's been a competition represented by 45 cheese shops sending in their best monger from all over the continental United States, as well as places like England, Australia, and beyond.
And it's also, I guess, primarily for the attendees, it's a great party with a lot of good cheese, and the competition is going on at the same time as the party.
Yeah. Oh, and I would say it's a great expression of the passion that both cheesemongers and cheese lovers have. I feel like the Cheesemonger Invitational has been a great day showcasing those who are madly and devotedly in love with cheese.
Mm-hmm.
And they get to show their art.
Their art in expressing themselves, both vocally as it relates to cheese, and then expressing themselves as they cut and wrap cheese, because wrapping cheese, apparently, I didn't realize it has an expressive creative element. And then most importantly, the final round, which is where it's like Top Chef of cheese.
Okay, it's time for us to take a break. This is Cutting the Curd. We'll be back in a few minutes. Thank you.
You're listening to I Love New York by RecTech on heritageradionetwork.org. Like what you hear so far? Support the network and become a member. Membership helps us bring you the best food radio in the world and gives you access to thousands of dollars in discounts at the sustainably minded businesses that support us. To become a member, visit heritageradionetwork.org today.
The International Culinary Center is a proud sponsor of the HeritageRadioNetwork.org. The ICC, with locations in New York and California, provide cutting-edge education to future chefs, restaurateurs, and wine professionals. We're proud to claim Dan Barber, Bobby Flay, and David Chang among our honored alumni. This is Dorothy Cann Hamilton from Chef Story. Check out our ICC website at internationalculinarycenter.com.
Hello, you're back with Cutting the Curd. I'm here with Aaron Kurtz, Adam Moskowitz, and Beth Griffenhagen, three artist cheesemongers, and we're discussing combining art and cheese. And I'm just wondering, how much overlap is there between your art pursuits and your work in cheese? Do you feel?
I mean, for me, a ton. My art is writing and my work is writing. The content is different, although single ladies do love cheese. So the audience may be the same. I'd say they're a lot the same, and they definitely inform one another. And I think that I love my job so much because I do get to have that creative release and practice my art daily. Although it sounds really stupid to call it art when you're like tweeting. But yeah, for me, that's definitely the case. A lot of overlap.
Yeah. I touched on it before we were talking. I like to think about, like, when I got into cheese, where did I learn about music? And I actually learned about it from, you know, I think that some of the more passionate cheesemongers were often really into music, and, you know, you'd hear them playing music at stores, and I would talk about music with them, and, you know, I think that they're just it totally interlaced, I don't know, there's... I think about like someone who builds a cheese cave, and the knowledge you need to build a cheese cave, you need that same kind of nerdy obsession. DJing seems really cool, but it's really a nerdy obsession of creativity, and you're focused in on some. And so I see that in how people caretake cheese,
mm-hmm.
and how people will build a cave, how people will explore new bands, how people will, you know,
extend the interest just a little bit farther.
Yeah, again, it's about this idea of going for it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I think you hear often about the artist struggle, and I think in the perishable cheese business, I struggle every day. So therefore, I must be an artist. No, just kidding. I think when you perform on the job, the key word there is perform. And I think when you think about being an artist, I think also about performance. And I think everything you do in life should be an expression of who you are and what you believe in. And so for me, I think my art and my work are the same exact. I approach both the same. With utter passion, full commitment, no fear, and a willingness to go as far as it takes to make the audience, in the case of work, it's customer, but customer and audience are the same, extremely satisfied. So I find them all to be the same. At the same time, what I'll say is that being a cheese importer affords me the opportunity to travel around the world, and that is extremely inspiring. So while you're there being inspired on top of a mountain, it'd be foolish not to write a poem or an idea or an anecdote, if I may. And at the same time, when you're seeing the customer and the customer is super, super, super happy, as a worker, you can't feel like you've just completely knocked it out of the park as a performer. So I think they're intertwined.
Mm-hmm. So I seem to have found three happy artist cheesemongers, it seems, just coincidentally, who's come into the studio today. Is that correct?
No. No, I just struggle. What is the artist struggle? People talk about the artist struggle all the time, and they think it's financial, and it's not. It's the artist struggle is a psychological experiment of mental gymnastics one plays with themselves, and my work and my art it's both the same. It's a never ending mm-hmm. struggle.
Well, the reason I said that was because one of my questions was, if you won the lottery, what would you do? would any of you pursue art full time? And it doesn't sound like that would be your answer. I don't know. How about you, Aaron?
I think if I won the lottery, I'd probably do some kind of social justice work.
Oh, okay.
I mean, that's what I think I would. If I really had mm-hmm. free time and right. I didn't have to think about, mm-hmm. I would do social justice
work. Now we all have to say that.
Yeah, sorry.
I also care about social justice. That's what I would do.
However, I don't.
Yeah. I don't really understand what social justice is. What is that? Explain it to me.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Some kind of environmental, yeah, or food safety or something that, because I think that, I don't know, I get really passionate about stuff like that, and I feel like I don't have enough time to devote to it, because I'm, mm-hmm. that's what I think I would do if I won the lottery.
So okay. If you have, oh yeah,
how about you, Beth? What would you do if you won the lottery?
I'd probably spend a ton of money on cheese.
I would do that too.
I think that's what defines, like, I mean, for an artist and for a cheese person, intense passion and, you know, to the point of nerdiness, like obsessive generosity. I think that people who love cheese love to share. And that's the sign of like a good cheese person. And that's what will keep you in the business, is if you really have a passion that you just are like compulsive sharer. And cheese lends itself to sharing, because you can just say, here, have a taste of this, take a bite of this. And that's kind of what sucks people in, is that you just get really excited about everything you taste and you want to share that excitement. And it does have like that artist's enthusiasm and infectious kind of passion. But for me, it's definitely like a shortcut. I love throwing parties.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, so that's maybe an answer. If I won the lottery, I'd help others for sure. But I would also throw really amazing parties with tons and tons of cheese. As often as
Aaron
possible.
Could DJ.
Yeah. Yes.
I want Adam to jump in, but I want to say there's a lot of social justice in cheese work too.
That's true. Because
you're supporting local farmers.
That's where I was just about to talk about.
Oh.
All you.
So oh, if I won the lottery, I would start making cheese. I would start investing even more heavily in the cheesemakers I currently work with. I would create a cheese network. By that I mean on TV, just cheese all day, every
Ooh.
Day, just a TV station dedicated to cheese. I would also, I don't know, I'd get a big bus made out of cheese, and I'd drive
made
around.
Made out of cheese? Made
would it
cheese.
Just look like cheese?
Yeah, no, it would look
ricotta
like
salata. Make it out of ricotta salata.
No. And I would
it's get not firm
a,
enough.
I would get a big tour bus that looks like cheese and also has cheese caves in the bus. I'd get a mobile cheese cave, and I would take cheese around the United States. That's what I did.
Sounds great.
So
I have another kind
that's
of out of left
dream.
Field.
That's crazy,
question.
Crazy, right? Yeah. I'm actually going to do that.
We're
going to
go buy some scratch tickets right after this.
No,
okay, good. Another completely different question. How did family figure into your cheese or art path? Everybody's pointing at Adam.
It doesn't really fit into mine.
Actually, it really fits into mine. So I'll take this one real quick. It was real simple for me. I came into the cheese business because I was a rapper performing my album in downtown Manhattan, and every live show my father showed up, and I'm a legacy cheese guy, I'm a third generation cheese importer. My dad kept showing up at all my events, and you know, for those that want to know what type of music I make, go to thebeatpoet.com, but I'm basically talking about sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And there was my dad bringing business people, and I was like, what are you doing? I thought I'm embarrassing everybody. And he's like, no, you're an entrepreneur. And I'm like, entrepreneur? No, I'm a fucked up artist. And he's like, no, you're an entrepreneur. Look, you have a product, you're selling it. And I was like, wow, you could be my mentor. And that's when I took my rapping career and turned it into a cheese career. So for me, it was a big deal. My dad supported my artist needs. And from there, I jumped into the family business because I was like, this guy got me.
Do you think it was a plot on his part?
Yes. Total manipulation.
Uh-huh. Well, I didn't mean that. I didn't mean you with that question, actually. I meant because sometimes families are negative about artwork. And they want you to have a day job.
Oh, I can speak to that.
Okay.
Well, my book contains some adult content.
Uh-oh.
And I will say that my conservative Southern parents went a bit catatonic when they saw the first draft. I let them see it before it came out, but kind of kept it under wraps until it was a for sure thing. and they really struggled with it. They were glad that I had a day job, and I don't think that they ever saw it as a separate thing or something that would pull me away from my day job. I wasn't like, I'm quitting, I'm gonna write smutty poems for life. Be fun.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. But I don't think they ever feared for that, but they I definitely experienced some of that, like, artist disapproval that is so famous.
If I win the lottery, I'm actually gonna pay you to write smutty poems about cheese.
I could get into that. I'll get to work on it.
And did your family have a reaction to DJing versus cheese?
No.
No?
My family's always just been supportive.
Ah.
So.
You're lucky.
They let me do whatever I want.
Okay. How did your education prepare you for either cheese or art? What did you guys study?
I studied psychology. I use it all the time. I do sales.
Okay.
So
I studied psychology, you know, too.
Yeah.
And I studied resolution. Psychology. What did you study?
Sociology.
I see a link here.
Yeah.
So
sounds like we all blew off our college education.
Actually use conflict resolution. Not I got me. A degree in conflict resolution. I use it all the time.
Mm-hmm. How so?
I always have to say a lot. It's not the cheese's fault.
No, I definitely use my degree. I mean, psychology and marketing are hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
And I do a little bit of HR and things like that for Murray's as well. So it definitely is something that I feel I use. But I think most people who pursue work, like degrees in psychology, they, to a certain level, are just kind of that kind of person.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know that I learned things in school, but I feel like I also came into it with just sort of a disposition of someone who likes people and wants to understand them more.
Mm-hmm. So. Okay. Does anyone have any advice for people trying to decide what to do with a career? Art versus cheese, or anything else?
It's New York. I mean, everybody's a hustler. You got to. It's if you're doing one thing, you're probably not doing enough.
Yeah. Well, first, I'd like to highlight. I think cheese is extremely artistic. That also needs to be. First, the rinds. Look at a rind, and you'll be mesmerized. It's like better than any psychedelic painting you could find, and then when you taste cheese, it kind of proves that God is an artist, because the whole flavor profile of cheese comes from like biochemistry. It's just kind of tweaky, but
how milk turns into delicious cheese.
Yes, and it becomes sweet and funky and
nutty,
or tastes like the sea. Like, I mean, it's just crazy that you could taste a piece of cheese and it tastes like an oyster. I mean, right? I mean, it's just wild.
Yeah.
Is wild. So I think that's really creative. When it comes to advice, follow your passions. God damn it, follow your passions. If you know what you feel and you feel what you know, do it. Don't second guess yourself. Have no fear. And know that cheese will always welcome you in. The cheese community is a community of artists that are either acting as artists or promoting artists, because cheese makers are artists and everybody in the game is artists. What we do is artistic. Because cheese is just unlike anything else we put in our mouth, and that's why we all love it. So follow your passions.
It's also a great way to meet people. You know, if you're working in cheese and it can sustain you as a day job and you're doing something on the side, it's great. Everybody loves cheese, so it's a great way to barter. It's a great way to, you know,
show up at any party with cheese and you're the coolest person at the bar.
Exactly. So if you're looking to get out there and meet more people, cheese is an entree like none other.
That's true. True. Do you have anything to add?
They think they summed it all up.
Okay. Well, this has been Cutting the Curd, focusing on artists and cheesemongers. You can find us on www.heritagenetwork.org, and you can get a podcast at iTunes or Stitcher. And we've been talking to Beth Griffenhagen, Aaron Kurtz, and Adam Moskowitz. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having us on.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.
listeners, we want to tell you about a podcast we're really digging. It's called Christopher Kimball's Milk Street Radio. Every week, they travel the world to find the most fascinating stories about food, including children who harvest cod tongues after school in Norway, and a detective who tracks down food thieves. And on Milk Street Radio, you can always find the unexpected. The comedian who ranks apples using an elaborate 100-point system, the secret history of grocery stores, and how to eat your way through Italy. They also interview the most beloved names in food like Jacques Pepin, Sola Awali, Jose Andres, Jet Tila, Ina Garten, Nigella Lawson, and Padma Lakshmi. Plus, co-hosts Christopher Kimball and Sarah Moulton do live calls with listeners and answer their questions about ingredients, techniques, and culinary mysteries. Like, why roasting a leg of lamb made one caller's oven explode? Ever wonder why your bread won't rise or your souffle falls flat? Chris and Sarah have the answers. You'll also hear from a rotating cast of contributors, including Kenji Lopez-Alt, Cheryl Day, Dan Pashman from The Sporkful, and Alex Inouz, a French guy cooking from YouTube. Take a listen at 177milkstreet.com/radio or just search your podcast app for Milk Street Radio.